with me to my right, your left, if you're driving in. He's my friend. He's with the Standard Examiner. I've known him for a long time, probably too long. Jim Burton. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
What your favorite Spice Girl would be?
Is there an allspice? Allspice. If it's,
okay.
I don't know.
Do you have a spice? We have the one with the huge fro. She's sassy. She's the one that's the judge on America's Got Talent.
I believe so.
And then you got Baby Spice. I don't get that.
She was the one that wore a diaper.
I was gonna go the Binky route, and then I took the high road and decided not to go that route. And
well,
then
I went straight up lowbrow. I work blue sometimes, Keith, as you well know.
Jim Burton is his name, Standard Examiner. Standard.net is the name of the website. You wrote a nice piece this week earlier that I saw with regards to Kyle Whittingham. Of course, Friday the big announcement was made that Kyle Whittingham's not going anywhere, that he's hunkering down. He's sticking around for longer than some people expected and signed that big, fat contract. And, you know, we've talked about this on the air about Dr. Chris Hill, and you got Kyle Whittingham. And my theory all along, and maybe this is just how I like to embrace things, is to quote the great Dave Mason, is if there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys, there's only you and me, and we just disagree. Not everyone has to get along. Not everyone has to be best friends. I tell this to my kids all the time. My daughter, she's very sensitive. She's a sweet girl, and she wants to be friends with everyone. But you can't be friends with every kid in the class. And sometimes you're just never going to get along. And maybe, and I don't know Kyle well, and I've never met Chris Hill, but maybe it's a situation, Jim, where there ain't no bad guy. There ain't no good guy. They're just Kyle and Chris, and they just don't see eye to eye on everything. Is that fair, or am I just up in the night?
No, I think you're right. I think there were two guys that had two different jobs to do. They have to work together. In the column that I wrote that we were talking about off the air, I like that analogy that a guy like Chris Hill, he's the athletic director, whether you're talking about a general manager of a professional sports franchise, or whether you're talking about the athletic director of a university, you know, their job is to be the administrator, and I liken that a little bit to they've got to be the principal at the school. They've got to make the tough decisions. They've got to work with the budget. They've got to they've kind of got to oversee everything. And the coach, while they obviously have some very important responsibilities, I kind of liken that to being kind of the cool teacher, you know, the guy that mm-hmm. flips the chair around backwards when he talks to the kids. He maybe wears, you know, he's the teacher, the cool teacher that wears the jeans and the dress shirt,
so,
maybe the knit tie.
So does he still shop at the Buckle, that teacher?
Yes, okay. That's the guy. And we all know teachers like that, right? And they're cool. Maybe they're social studies, maybe they're history, English. I haven't known too many cool math teachers. I'm just kidding. And it's easy to like them, and they're always going to be that, you know, if it comes down to a battle, like you kind of saw with a lot of Utah fans, they're booing Chris Hill. Even people in the media, you know, we're making a big deal, like, oh, you know, why can't he just, you know, seem to get along, or, you know, maybe he messed this thing up. But I think he's got different responsibilities, and he's got to maybe watch things. He's got different things in his vision than Kyle does, and I felt like it was a case where you know he was kind of he had to oversee a lot of different things, and maybe Kyle, maybe I don't know, I didn't talk to Kyle on this, I don't know either one of them really well, I don't have a lot of sources, I don't have the inside sources, but it, just from a distance, it looked like from my understanding, Chris Hill had something to do, and he was kind of look over the whole athletic department, and the Utes were coming off a couple of 5-7 seasons, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know all the particulars, but I know that if he throws a bunch of money at a coaching staff that's coming off 2 5-7 seasons, and then they have another 5-7 season or worse, and you know, then he looks like the guy that was kind of holding the bag, you know, and then everyone's like, you know, how come he couldn't be a little smarter with this? So, you know, he can't win. And I guess that's my point, is if you're the principal, you're never going to win. That battle is always going to go to the cool teacher, because everyone likes the cool teacher because, you know, he's the cool teacher. He's the guy that he doesn't have quite as many things that he's got to worry about like the principal does. So I don't know. Maybe I butchered that analogy.
No, I'm with you on that. But I would say this, that there are people that are saying, well, for crying out loud, Kalani Sitake's gone. What could have been done to keep him around? But at the same time, if you look back, because I've talked to friends of mine that are huge Utah fans saying, man, if they could just got this contract done last year, then Kalani would still be around. That's true. But that was coming off the 5-7 season. Yeah. So if you're the administrator, if you're the fiduciary, and it's your responsibility to sign that contract, would you offer a big contract like that to a guy coming off back-to-back 5-7 seasons?
Yeah, because you don't know. And that's the other thing is sometimes ADs have to clean house.
Yeah.
And I don't believe – first of all, Chris Hill's been doing this for a long, long time. And I don't believe for a second that he was trying to blow up the Utah football program. That's not in his best interest to do that. Nor do I believe that Kyle Whittingham was trying to undermine – the football program either. I think they both had a different perspective on what needed to be done. And, you know, I thought Chris Hill, like a principal, like a good principal, he stepped up and he kept cool Mr. Witt in the classroom where he belongs. And that's kind of the way I look at it. So I thought he handled it pretty well, actually.
Do you think it ever got as ugly as some reports that we heard? Like I was hearing to me some stuff that's like it could be true, it may not, I don't really know, but did it get that crazy to where Kyle was out the door kind of like me, grabbed his headphones, had him into his car and was walking out and done? Or was it posturing? Was he just frustrated? Was there just maybe some non-communication that was making people think that maybe he was gone or disinterested?
Well, I don't know, you know, I feel like I think there was probably some damage done. I felt like he believed that, you know, he was disrespected, and you know, guys in that business to get to that point, to get as far in that business as he has, and to be as successful as he has, I think you've got to have a lot of confidence in yourself. And I feel like, yeah, he probably did feel like he was disrespected a little bit, but I don't know that it was quite as bad as everything was made out to be. I always like to think cooler heads are always going to prevail.
Let me tell you this, and this is the petty Keith Stubbs, but I don't really care. But if I'm in Kyle Whittingham's situation and I'm secure as to who I am, I feel like I've given my life to this, and then you start hearing the Gary Anderson stuff and everyone in love with Gary Anderson, then you go through the phase of, you know what, forget, I'm out of here, I don't care. And then it becomes, wow, there are no options right now because this came too late, so I'm not out of here, so I'm going to stick around. But I'm not just going to stick around for another year, because it was also rumored that maybe he would just stick around for maybe another year or so and then see what else is out there. Maybe it's like, screw it, I'm sticking around for 4 more years, so you're going to have to like me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm digging in like a tick.
I think my wife has done that in our marriage. It's almost to the point where she's just defiant, saying, you know what, you can't get rid of me. So
I love it.
With me, to my right, your left, if you're driving in, even if you're not driving in, he's still to my right, we got Jim Burton with the Standard Examiner. Is that true or false, Jim Burton?
That is 100% correct.
Okay, what's going on with this deflated football thing? When I first heard the story, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's nitpicking. Someone's just trying to find something where nothing exists. But apparently, 11 of 12 footballs deflated. Now, when you say deflated, they're just less air than what would be preferred or recommended or mandated by the NFL?
I would say that still is not quite to the level of deflation that the Colts experienced the other day. They were almost completely flat, I believe, after that game. But, if they're cheating, I got a problem with it. I mean, and the response would be, well, you know, that wasn't going to make a difference in the game. They still beat him, whatever the final score was, 45-7 or something like that. But I get the sense that they probably were doing this all season long, and this is the first time that it became an issue. I'd heard that that the Ravens can, that felt like maybe something like that was going on the week before. I don't know, man. And plus, you know, you had the whole Spygate thing. I think when there's smoke, there's fire. I think Bill Belichick, he's a great coach, but I think he tries to push the envelope, push the limits, maybe find out whatever edge you can find. And I think that's a problem. I mean, if you're one of the teams and you're trying to play by the rules and this guy, it's almost like he doesn't feel like he has to play by the rules, that would really make me mad.
There are people say that if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, or if you ain't trying, you ain't, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in that.
No.
But it appears that someone's doing something. But according to what I've been reading the last couple of days about the situation, and once again, I knew nothing about the footballs. I didn't know that each team brought their own. This is almost like soccer over here at Uinta. You have to bring your own ball with you. I didn't realize the NFL was set up that way. I thought they had a certain amount of balls that were there and maybe the NFL provided them, but no, that's not the case. That during the week, each team, they have their footballs and they scuff them up and they make them the way they modify them, not necessarily modify them, but they want to make sure they're comfortable with those footballs.
Yeah, they break them in a little bit.
So they bring 12 footballs each, and I didn't know that the kicker brought their own football. Yeah. I didn't know that there was a – I did not know – did you know this? That it's not the same ball that they kick for an extra point or a field goal that they use. Let's say Brady throws a touchdown. I didn't know that they didn't grab that same ball and then tee it up and go.
I knew that they had different balls for the kickers. I don't. This whole thing, I do feel like if there's a positive in this, it's that – we all know Tom Brady now has small hands. The man's got so much going for him now. If there's just any sort of a rumor, a belief that maybe he's not perfect, he's got tiny hands.
You mean maybe that he has everything?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I bet he has small feet and uses small gloves as well.
You got to think, based upon the word out there, they say that the 12 footballs that you have there, Belichick doesn't care about the football because he's not the one throwing the pass. The second-string quarterback doesn't necessarily care. It's the starting quarterback that I would think that if I was a starting quarterback and I could just handle each of these footballs the way I want to go, you know, keep this one, get rid of that one. That one's slippery. I like this one here. So if you're going to go through, who would be the guy that would go through that? And it would have to be, in my opinion, the starting quarterback, not necessarily the head coach or an assistant coach or not the second-string quarterback because it's not – the odds are is that he's not going to be in the game. So right. I guess what I'm getting at is Tom Bradley was former mayor of L.A., by the
yes.
way. Tom Brady, is he guilty of something here? Is this nefarious?
I think he's, I don't know. He's got too much going for him. He's too good looking. He's got a supermodel wife and this mansion with a moat around it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you had a supermodel wife, you'd want to have a nice moat to
of course you would, yeah.
keep her in, keep the other people from getting in. But I don't know, man. I think the bigger thing is that the Patriots under Belichick have shown that they're willing to play fast and loose with the rules in order to get some sort of a competitive advantage.
I will say this. I believe that obviously someone did something. Either the NFL didn't weigh the balls or measure the air pressure when they should. So obviously something happened, but I get the feeling that this is commonplace. I bet you there are people, I bet you there are quarterbacks going, actually, I did the same thing. I that was kind of an accepted norm. I think it couldn't be totally deflated, but I bet that was more than just. I think not just the Patriots did. I bet there were other teams that did the same type of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Which I'm not saying makes it right. I'm just saying I bet you it's an accepted thing.
But the Patriots are the ones that keep getting caught. I mean, and maybe other teams, you know, tape walkthroughs and whatever sort of things have also come down the pipe with these guys. But you know
this, though, Jim. It wouldn't be a story if they come out that Tom Brady said, you know what, that football over there that Andrew Luck was throwing was deflated. No one would even care. It's because it's the Patriots, because they're going to the Super Bowl. That's why it's probably, I would say, a bigger issue.
Well, I first of all, I think Andrew Luck might have an illegal beard. but that's neither here nor there. That thing, hopefully it's gone by now. But, yeah, you know, there's something to that. Because that, you know, they've been caught before, the whole Spygate thing. Maybe they become now a target for everybody that wants to kind of make that excuse for them, knowing that it's going to stick with them and it probably won't stick with other teams. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're easy not to they're easy to dislike, I feel like, the Patriots. I'm not a big Bill Belichick fan anyway. I don't like the way he talks. I usually fall asleep well into the third syllable. But I don't know. I'm not a Patriot guy, and I will admit that that kind of colors my perception of what's going on there. I don't like it, and I don't like this idea. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. I understand. I've heard the expression, but that's just dumb, because at some point there needs to be, everybody needs to play by the same set of rules, I think. But I realize that's kind of Pollyanna to believe that, but I do.
I don't think it's Pollyanna. I think it's big of you, Jim
Thank
Burton.
You.
His name is Jim Burton with the Standard Examiner. Standard.net is the name of the website. Before I let you go, Jim Burton, you don't have to go, by the way. Before I let you go, you can stay here with me. Utah Jazz, halfway through the season, you're going, this is what I thought it would be. This is perfect. This is exactly right.
I did. They were the same record they had a year ago, but it does feel like it's a different team. I feel like, you know, one of the things about last year, and I like Ty Corbin, and I will always defend him, because I think he became a victim of circumstance. The Jazz, I do not believe for a second that he was going to come back this year, but they weren't going to fire him with years on his contract either. They're going to let that contract play out. And so, speaking to just last year, I feel like, you know, their record at, 14-27 at this point last year at the halfway point. And you know, there was a lot of talk of, you know, there wasn't a lot of direction. There wasn't the players were unsure what was going to happen in the future. And, you know, they weren't playing together as a team. Well, that speaks to the fact that they were in a transition at that point. And I don't know I don't care who the coach was going to be. If in a situation like that, guys are going to start playing for themselves. They're not going to play for each other. There's going to be a lot of concern about, gosh, you know, where are we going? What's the future look like? And so, last year, I think there was all that stuff going on, but I think that was more the circumstance of the season versus whether an indictment of Ty Corbin as a coach. As far as this year, I feel like it's the complete opposite because of that. I think Quinn Snyder's a great coach. I think he's doing a great job with those guys. But I feel like a lot of it, the bigger picture is they've got a guy in place, and the future, they can see more of the future right now. And consequently, guys buy in. It becomes easy to buy in when you can see the future. It's hard to buy in when you have no idea where you're going to be next season or who's going to be your coach next season. So a lot of that speaks to the fact that there's stability this year that there wasn't last year. And they look like a nice young team. I really like what I've seen out of Rudy Gobert. I felt like, you know, this guy has all the physical tools when they drafted him. And I kind of wondered, is this kind of some kind of a steal? That does feel like a San Antonio thing where they just pull some European guy out of the air and it looks great. So I'm really impressed with him. I like their future a lot.
His name is Jim Burton with the Standard Examiner joining us. Standard.net is the name of the website.